can be seated.
Fred, come here. Fred. This is Fred, who was talking about a while ago. And I just want to have Fred come up here. I want to pray for him this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open this portion of our service. Father, I thank you so much for Fred. And God, I just pray right now that you'd be with him. God, he's had a tough week. A guy with his situation with his mother-in-law and then the person who beat him up this week while he was driving down the highway. God, I just pray that you would touch him. God, I pray that your presence would be with him in a very special way today. God, may you speak to his heart, and God, may you touch his life. God, even these bad circumstances that's taking place in his life, I ask you that you'd work them out together for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. And God, I want to pray for my good friend and fellow preaching brother in Southern Illinois right now. God, I want to ask you for Randy Morgan. God, his son was killed in an accident this week. And God, I just pray for Randy right now as he'll be getting up to go to the pulpit here in a few moments. God, I pray that you'd wrap your arms of love around Randy and God, touch him. And God, I pray that Randy would not head back to the things that he's headed back to so many times in the past. God, keep him strong through this. And God, I pray for his wife, Donna. And God, I just pray that you would be with her and be with the rest of the family as well. And God, just again, touch them and just minister to them. And now I ask you, God, that you'd be with me as I preach your word. God, give me the anointing that comes from you and the clarity, the speech this morning. And Lord, well, I'll be sure to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joan's mother, she was admitted to Clare Hospital again, 11 through last night. After the surgery, she had a pacemaker put in her heart, and it should have been done 2 years ago. Last night, I got a phone call that she had to take her back to hospital because she was having some heart systems at breathing, and they did find some liquid in her lungs. And a couple other things, but she's doing great right now. But my wife can't be here because she's down in Clare right now with mother.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and we'll be looking at a text today from Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And then a text that the Lord laid on my heart is also in Revelation today, the Revelation chapter 2. We'll be looking at that in a little bit as well. So you can kind of look at both of those in your Bible if you'd like to today. But as we look at this, talking about direction, in my life, I like to have direction. I want to know where I'm going to go. When I get ready to take a trip, I have looked at the map and I've studied the map and I've got it memorized. Now, my wife is kind of the opposite of that. She just gets in a vehicle and goes. And she has no sense of direction whatsoever. But she said, well, I just always get there. God just always gets me there. And so she prays and God gets her there. There's times that she dropped me off at the airport in St. Louis, Missouri. And I would call wherever I was going once I got there, wherever it was at, and see how she was doing. I said, well, did you find that place? Well, yeah. I said, well, where was it? She said, well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How could you not know? I just really like to know where I'm going. I really just really want to know. And at one time there was a guy come up to Johnny Hunt, who's president of the Southern Baptist Convention now. He said, man, Johnny, I wish my church would follow me like your church follows you. He said, well, where do you want to take him? He said, well, I don't know. He said, that's your problem. If you can't tell them where you want to take them, they'll never follow you. They will never go there. And at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had a clear direction about what God wanted him to do. He had a clear mandate from the Father. He knew exactly what he had come to do. And there wasn't anything that was going to keep him from fulfilling his purpose. It was nothing going to keep him from doing the things that God wanted him to do. He had clear direction about what the Father's will was for his life. Let's look at that in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Stand with me as we read God's word. I know you got to sit down. The pregnant ladies can stay seated. But here we have the Word of God says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogue and was praised by everyone. That's kind of interesting. They was praised by everyone in their synagogues. But when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come." And then he put down the scroll, and he sat down and began to teach. You can be seated this morning. He put down the scroll and he began to teach. Here are some lessons that we need to learn today, folks, in direction. First of all, the directions, we must have the Holy Spirit's power. To have a God-sized vision and God's direction, we must have the Holy Spirit's power. And I find it's kind of interesting that he put it in exactly those terms. Then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. That power, that the Holy Spirit's power, what is that? What does it look like? It's an amazing word there. If you look at it in the Greek language, that amazing word there in the Greek language is where we get our word dynamite from. It's where we get our word dynamite. That's the power of the Spirit of God. I want you to know that God's Spirit is powerful. God's Spirit is the most powerful being. It's the most powerful thing that's in the world. If you could take all the atomic bombs and add them all together and put them all together and explode them at one time, God's power is more powerful than that. Because at one time, the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep and God spoke and this world came into existence. The Spirit of God was there at the very creation of the world. And that Spirit of God was there at the very creation of the world is the same Spirit who lives inside of you this very day. This same Spirit that created everything is a Spirit that is to lead and to guide and to control our lives as it did Jesus' life that day. Think about that. Here was Jesus, the sinless Son of God. And it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And do you realize that in this New Testament that God commands us that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God as well? It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be you filled with the Spirit of God. That means be you being filled with the Spirit of God. And folks, I want you to know, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us. There is only one indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want to try to clarify some theology here for just a few moments. There is one filling of the Spirit, one indwelling. I believe that when we give our life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and He takes up residence inside of us. He lives there inside of us when we give our heart and life to Him. That is the infilling of the Spirit of God or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However that you want to say that, I believe that God's Spirit comes and He takes up residence in our life. However, though, I believe that we need to have a filling of the Holy Spirit on a continual basis. Matter of fact, that Scripture says, be you being filled with the Spirit of God. If you take it literally, it says, be you being filled. So that means that the Spirit of God who lives inside of me is continually overflowing. It's continually working. He is continually working in and through and around my life. And He is continually working in and through your life. And so we today need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we're going to have clear direction about what God wants us to do, and if we're going to accomplish anything at all that's going to be kingdom-based, we have to do it, not in our own power, but by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit has got to lead. God's Spirit's got to direct and guide in every part of the Orchard Church. That's, folks, for me, that's the biggest thing that I could have said today. Is that before the Orchard Church can do anything, will be anything that's going to make a significant difference in our world, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. And so Jesus says, and he returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. And he taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Everybody heard about Jesus, and everybody knew what was going on in his life. That there was something unique, there was something different about him, because he spoke as one who had authority. Yes, he had authority, because he was authorized to speak. And you know, I think that's important for us today. When the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us, then he gives us an anointing to proclaim God's word. But he went to his boyhood home and he began to unroll the scroll of Isaiah, and he began to go in and teach. I find it interesting that they didn't ask who was going to teach that day. Folks, if Jesus is in the house, he has the right. And they didn't ask who was going to be the synagogue leader of that day. It was automatically supposed that Jesus was going to do that. And so he got this to the point of what God wanted him to do. And that passage in Isaiah that he quoted, and he quoted that, as we look at what the Spirit of God said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I was driving down the road headed to Kentucky a few weeks ago now. I wish this message had been last week or the week before. I really do. But we're here today, and this is God's timing, because, folks, this is the beginning of Missions Month. This is the beginning of Missions Month, and I believe that God has a mission for our church. Would you agree with that? How many of us agree with that? God has a mission for the Orchard Church. And if God has a mission for the Orchard Church, this is a good time to hear the direction. So it's in God's timing. So I was headed down to Kentucky, and again, I shared with you just briefly the other day that as I got on Interstate 131 and began to take off, it was foggy. It was crazy foggy. And that's going to play into the message here in just a little bit. But it was, and I began to listen to the country station, and again, the song came on, Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off. And then the Spirit of God, who lives inside of me, said, you don't need to be listening to that. And so I said, okay. And so I turned it off. And he said, why don't you just spend some time with me? Why don't you just spend some time? Now, it was not an audible voice. It was not like that God said audibly like the radio. He can talk that way, but he has a lot more authority when he does. But it's a still small voice inside of me said, turn it off and just talk with me. And so I said, well, if I'm going to talk with you, I'm just going to have to assume that you're riding with me. Have you ever saw those bumper stickers that says, Jesus is my co-pilot? Folks, I don't want him to be my co-pilot. I want him in the pilot seat. If he's in the house, I want him directing. I hope I haven't driven through a house. But anyway, I just said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to have a conversation with you today like I'd be talking to somebody else that was sitting next to me. And if I'm going to have a conversation with you, I'm going to have to ask you to speak too. And he said, that's okay, I can do that. And he can, and he did. And so that was right after that my kids surprised me with the 25th anniversary of being in the ministry. And I preached my first sermon, you know, on 25 years ago that week. And actually, I was licensed on the 4th of March. And my brother-in-law, so I'm going to send my brother-in-law a letter this week congratulating him on his 25th anniversary into ministry because he preached his first sermon on the 4th. So, kind of neat. And we were both licensed that day. So I'm going to send him a letter this week just thanking him for being a good brother-in-law for the last 25 years. Part of it, anyway. Some of you guys will get that in a second. Part of the 25 years, he was a good one. But the Spirit of God, and I begin to reflect. I begin to reflect and ask God, I said, okay, God, let's go talking. And so I went through four and five churches now that I've pastored. And I asked him about South Benton. I said, God, what was my purpose there? You ever get done with something and say, what in the world was my purpose with that? God said, you've got a wife. What more do I want out of that? And that's where God gave me my wife, was at South Benton. And for that, I'm very grateful. And I thanked him for that. And I prayed for those people that were part of that church there at South Benton and are still part of the church at South Benton. And then down to Lake Milligan. And so I said, God, what was your favorite time while I was pastor at Lake Milligan? And the Holy Spirit said, my favorite time while you was pastor at Lake Milligan is to watch you to learn to obey me. Because I've been disobedient quite a bit in the past. He said, it was fun watching you learn to obey me and trust me rather than trusting your own wit and trusting your own abilities. So, well, that's cool. And we had a neat conversation talking and praying for the people there at Lake Milligan. And then I moved to Samaria. And that was a neat thing. When God moved me to Samaria, it was a God thing. And so I asked him, God, where did I miss you at? Because of all the churches that I've pastored, that was one I didn't really ever feel. Like when I left, I felt like God told me to leave. And God told me exactly when I would leave after Nathan Edmonds' bone marrow transplant. But there was something in my spirit that was never right about that. Have you ever felt that way before? Just kind of something you left and you just kind of left undone? You wish you had finished something? Has anybody else ever felt that way? Okay, thank you. And he said, you should have listened to Iva Collins. You should have listened to Iva. And then he said something that rocked my world. He said, that whole area would be different today if you just listened to what that gray-haired lady told you. Folks, there's wisdom in the gray hair. Iva Collins was an old lady. She was older than dirt. I'm telling you, she was old as she can be. And she was just a little bitty old skinny thing. You know, the tornado come through Albion that first year I was there and hit her house. I don't know how it kept from blowing her away. A little wind would just blow her over. But anyway, Iva, you know, we had grown to the point where we had chairs. And we had pews there. But we had chairs sitting down the aisles for people to come to and sit. And they were full one Sunday morning. And I begged them. I said, you know, I watched the family come and look for a place to sit. And there was none. And they went away. And I said, we've got to do something to reach those people. And I wanted to build a new building or move out to the fellowship hall that had more room. I wanted to do something like that. And the people said in the church, no, we're happy the way it is. We like it full. Iva Collins said, you need to go start another church. You need to start a new church at New Salem. And I said, okay. But no, I want to build a building here. She said, well, you'd reach more people if you did it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit told me she was dead right. That whole church and that whole area would be different today because it's about 40 miles from Samaria to the next SBC church north up into Alney. And folks, I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God said. You blew it. I said, well, then why did you move me and then not make me go do that? He said, I don't make you. He said, it was in my will that I moved you when I moved you to United Missionary. And I prayed for Samaria and prayed for their pastor. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God said, okay, you need to call him. After I prayed for the pastor that's there at Samaria now, he said, you need to call him. And I still remember the number 445-2108. And so I picked up my phone and I called him and just... I didn't get him. I got the answer machine that said, hey, I'm Ken Wilson. I was a former pastor of Samaria. And I just want you to know that I've been praying for you today and praying for your family. And God also said, you know, you need to get your eyes off of people. And you need to get your eyes on me. And keep your eyes on me, not focus on people. And so I shared with him because I know that there's a person there that if he hasn't caused him difficulties, he will. And I said, you know what? Don't worry about that. you stay focused on what God wants you to focus on. You have a good day. Give me a call back if you want to. Then I went to United Missionary. Talked about the 8.5 years, and we had, that took about 3.5 hours. It was a long trip of time to help me work through some things that I hadn't worked through yet. Then I got to Michigan. I said, God, what's happened? What's happened? I said, God, I know you called me to go. There was absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever that God called me to be here. That God took care of working those situations out. I said, God, but there's just something that's been amiss. There's something just been quite not totally quite right since I've been in Michigan. What is it, God? And I just allowed this just, and for me to be quiet, it's hard. It was hard. But I really, really felt like I just needed to be quiet and listen for a little while. And so I did. I was just quiet and listening. I said, okay, God, what is it? And finally, the passage of Scripture came to me in Revelation chapter 2 in the church in Ephesus. And listen to what the Word of God says here. But I have this, and by this is the New Living Translation too. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among you and among the churches. Anyone with ears, do you have an ear today? If you have an ear, grab hold of it. Okay, and turn it so you can hear. If anyone has ears, must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. And so here's what God told me. He said, Kenny, you've been diverted, but you're not done. And folks, I believe that was a message for the Orchard Church. There's been a diversion. If you look at the first meeting that I was part of and the core group over at Matt and Melissa Kuhlman's house back in 2004, and that meeting back over there in their house in 2004, I was excited about what God was going to do. And the people who gathered in that room that day was excited about what God was going to do. And they had a purpose and they had a vision of what God wanted to do with the Orchard Church. That this church was going to be a church that was going to serve its community. It was going to reach out to people that nobody else wanted to reach out to. It was going to be a church that had the very heartbeat of God. That's what I heard in that meeting that night, and my soul was excited that night about what took place. And then, I'm getting loud, excuse me, I'll tone it down a little bit. And I was just excited about what God was going to do and what God did in the midst of bringing Rich here and all the dynamics that took place with all that. But here's what God showed me that day with me and with you. The Orchard Church, is we've got to get back to our first love. We've got to get back to our first love. We've regressed. We've regressed. We have lost that first love. And I began to think about my own life. I began to think about my life before I was a pastor and my life at those other churches. And one of the things that the love of my life, and I love my wife, but the love of Jesus Christ and seeing people come to faith in Christ has been the love of my life, my relationship with Him, and sharing Him with as many people as I possibly can. That's been my passion. That's been what's driven me. That's what God used to move me to Michigan, and that's what God did when He moved me to the Orchard Church, is that passion to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter whether you're rich or you're poor, or whether you're somewhere in between, which that gap is narrowing every day now. But I want you to know, it does not matter. A person without Jesus Christ needs to be saved. And that's the passion that's driven me. But something else along the way had taken over that passion that I once had. And folks, I don't want it to be there. My direction has become clear to begin to love me like you once did. And as I was driving through that fog the other day, this is when God gave me that passage of Scripture. As I was driving through the fog lifted by big rapids, and I'm thankful for that because it was pretty nasty that morning when I was driving. And what happens when we regress? What happens when we lose that first love is we have a lack of vision. Kind of write this down. It's a good process and a good thing that happens to us. We have a lack of vision. We have a lack of vision. It's kind of like driving in the fog that I was driving in that day. And you know you're still on the road because you can feel the road. And you know when you're getting too close to the side of the road because you can feel the rumble strip. And that morning I hit the rumble strip a few times. Now my wife will tell you that's nothing unusual. You know, if I'm driving, I'm probably going to hit the rumble strip at some time or another because I'm looking at something. That morning I was trying to see the road. I knew I was on the road, but I couldn't see it real well. And that's kind of what it is when you have a lack of vision. You know that you're on the right road, but you can't see anything around you. I hate driving in fog. And folks, worse than that, I hate living my life in fog. There's some people who's been living in the fog for so long that they don't know any difference. And my challenge is for you today is to get out of the fog. To get out of the fog, get back to the first love that you have, the love that you have for Jesus Christ, that fresh passion that you have for Jesus. Driving in the fog, you know you're on the road, but you can't see a thing. What happens when you're driving in the fog in your own life? After a while, you lack passion. When you lose your first love, the vision goes, and the Bible says where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. And where there's no vision, the people perish. And when the vision is gone, you don't have any passion any longer. When you're driving in that fog, you get so fatigued because you can't see where you're going and your eyes get strained and your nerves get tense. I mean, it's just the parts back up here on your neck just get tight. Why? Because you're fatigued and the lack of passion. Folks, a church that has no vision will have no passion. And then comes the lack of urgency. What's the use? What is the use? You see, when you have no vision and you have no passion, life is an ugly circle. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, in that ugly circle comes depression. In that ugly circle comes in falling out, falling into sin, falling into the all kinds of things in our life. The lack of urgency is one of those things. Folks, it's urgent that we carry the gospel. I believe that we have a short period of time to get the gospel out, and we need to do it with urgency. And then there's a lack of spiritual fruit as a result of the lack of urgency and passion and vision. The natural man kind of kicks in gear. What we would do naturally just comes out. Instead of being a spiritual and acting spiritually, we act out of our own passions, out of our own fleshly desires. And here's what happens when that takes place. When a church and when people, when you or me or anybody else begins to lose our first love and we come to the lack of spiritual fruit, here's what takes place. We begin to feel threatened by everything and everybody around us. We feel threatened like, oh no, how dare them? Or some like the proverb says that, you know, that they ran when no one was chasing them. There's sometimes we feel threatened by people when we have no reason to feel threatened. But it's all because we've lost our first love and we're so engrossed with us instead of what God wants. And then, after we do that, we have a loss of the urgency and the vision. And then when we begin to get our focus on somebody else, we begin to talk and we begin to gossip. And when gossip starts, it's a hard thing. I thought about bringing the VeggieTales, the rumor weed. How many have seen the rumor weed? Talk and no action. All talk and no action. So what did he say? You need to remember. You need to remember from where you've come from. You need to remember the Ephesian church, your first love. Jesus knew his direction. He knew his mission from the very point. And we need to get back to the vision and the direction that God gave us in growing healthy believers. We need to repent. And one of the things that we're going to do this month, and I don't know, I have a date yet, but we're going to work sometimes toward the end of the month of having a time of 24-hour prayer meeting. The Spirit of God spoke to me not long ago, and you know, we had 24-hour prayer meeting at Blooming Grove when I was a member there before God called me into the ministry. And God did a great thing. He healed John Heath Barker. But God also did something else great. And in what God did great there, that church just blossomed. I mean, it just began to grow and began to see people come to faith in Christ like crazy. I never had connected the two of them until the Spirit of God said, that's what happened. I began to work. I began to have freedom to work in people's lives because of that prayer meeting. And then I remember what took place at United Missionary when we prayed for Bill Stover. I remember his name now, Cameron. Bill Stover, when we prayed for Bill Stover to be healed of cancer. And God did heal Bill Stover for about 7 years of cancer, 8 years. He was cancer-free. He's been dealing with it in the last few years. But when we had that prayer meeting, God did touch Bill. And God used medical technology and some chemotherapy, but God healed Bill. But what took place at the United Missionary Church at that time was it began to explode and God worked in some miraculous ways. And the Holy Spirit said, why wait till somebody gets sick? Does anyone want to volunteer to get sick so we can pray for you for 24 hours? No. But why not do it? Because, as again, a connection, and I should have connected this a little bit earlier within the doctrinal research that I've done and doing my work, was that every church that took off and began to have an spiritual explosion took place when people began to pray. When people laid everything aside and sought God's face and God's will. And this month, and the GPS, God's plan for sharing, and the first phase of God's plan for sharing is praying. Is praying and praying for people specifically. And praying for the people that's on the prayer list for salvation. Pray, pray. Pray, and we're going to not talk about it, but we're going to participate and do it this month and months to come. We need to repent. That means having a change of direction. That we're going our own way and we turn around and go God's direction. If we don't, He'll remove our lampstand. And God made that very clear to me, folks. If we don't get back to our first love, He's going to remove our lampstand. And folks, I don't want to see the light snuffed out in Traverse City, do you? I don't. We've got to get back to the passion that God gave this church at its core and its beginning. And I want you to be part of that. A statement that I believe that God gave me, I've never read this anywhere else, and don't have very many original statements, but this I really believe God gave me. I am better at following the Holy Spirit than I am leading on my own. Folks, I don't want to get up here and tell you this morning that I've got I've come up with it myself. I am better at following the leadership of the Holy Spirit than I am leading on my own. I don't want to lead on my own anymore. I don't want no part of it. Because if I lead on my own, it'll fail. If I lead on my own, it may look good for right now, but in a few months or a few years, it'll be destroyed. Anything I do on my own will be washed away someday. What I do in the power of the Holy Spirit will last forever. So here's some real life. Goals, vision. And by the way, if you don't have some plans, your goals are just wishes. If you don't have plans, your goals are just wishes. we're going to deliver the good news. That's broad. That's a broad statement. We're going to deliver the good news. That is vague. It's not definable. But I'm going to tell you what. We're going to put some feet to that. We're going to declare and we're going to deliver the good news to Traverse City. We're going to do it through giving back. We're going to do it through serving those who serve us. I want to just give you a report. We wasn't here last week. We fed the firemen and the police officers, the Coast Guard, some of them in each one of those. What we did last summer, we tripled the amount of people who actually came to the fire department to eat this time. I know probably it was because of the Cherry Festival was going on the last time, but we tripled the amount of people who came to the fire station to eat this time. We did it a couple of Thursdays ago. I want to tell you why. It was neat. Just kind of give you an idea of what we fixed. I fixed 20 pounds, and Andrea and those who's helping me fixed 20 pounds of sausage. We fixed 15 pounds of pancakes, 15 pounds of biscuits, two big vats of gravy, and we ran out of gravy, and plus some fruit and juice, and folks, the only thing that was left when I left was a plate full of sausage. And we've delivered 69 meals to the other places. And so we're going to do that again. We're going to do that repeatedly throughout this year. We're going to, also coming up, we are going to fix some cookies for the inmates. The cookies for the inmates for Easter. They called us and said, hey, since you brought cookies for Christmas this year, do you think you could fix some cookies for the inmates? We need 800 of them. And the inmates will receive cookies from the Orchard Church, and that will cover Grand Traverse, Benzie, and Leland, all counties. And folks, we're going to serve. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to use those means. And I'm going back to the jail this week, and hopefully they don't, not this week, but this month, and a couple of times, and sharing in the jails again, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to deliver the good news to those who are in captivity. We're going to deliver the good news in other ways. One of the areas that God has really laid on my heart is the fact of the country. Western is the number one station here in northern Michigan. We need to do something that's going to reach that culture. And so began to pray and see where God would lead us to do a country Western service. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't have any clue, any iota right now. But I really believe that's something God has put on my heart and that we need to do that nobody else is doing. Because it's going to reach people that nobody else will reach. We're going to deliver the good news through sports camps this summer. We have a group from Tennessee coming up to help us with sports camps. We're going to deliver the good news from Vacation Bible School. Just got a confirmation from a church in Texas. Also, guys, and this is a little bit later on, I have a person who's begging me, well, why don't you buy some land so we can come build you a building? Does that sound okay to anybody else? They've asked that, but I don't know if that's what, you know, I think God wants us to have something again that's not going to cost us a lot, and we'll go into that a little bit later on. But we're going to bring freedom to the captives in real life. Bring freedom to the captives through Celebrate Recovery, a recovery ministry. Folks, there's a lot of people in our area that are hung up on their hurts, hang-ups, and their habits. Whether it be drug abuse, whether it be overeating, whether it be whatever it may be, whether it's alcoholism, whatever it is, there are a lot of people that are held captive by the devil. The devil has got them, and he's choking the life out of them. And we have the means and the power to set them free. So we're going to go out and declare freedom to the captives. We're going to be going to bring light to darkened eyes. Now, I don't know that anybody that's blind is going to be healed. My God can do that, by the way. He's still in the healing business. God can give sight to whoever He wants. Or not necessarily the physical sight, but I believe that God may very well have us to go out and penetrate the darkness that's in our area right now. And spreading the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to bring freedom to those who are oppressed. And there are a lot of those out there, folks. And we're going to declare this is the year of God's grace. God's grace. Our nation's in turmoil. Our nation's in turmoil financially. We've got all kinds of things going on in our world today that's never went on before in the history of the world. But folks, my God has not changed one single time. He is the same today as He was yesterday. And my friend, He'll be the same tomorrow as He is today. He is that type of God. This is the year of God's grace. This is the year to proclaim God's grace. Let's go proclaim it. Let's go proclaim it. I just want you to know right now, as we come and get ready to have a time, a closing song, as the musicians come right now, I just want you to know, if God has put on your heart that you need to pray about something, I'll turn my mic off and I'll pray with you this morning. I'll be up here off to the side, and I would love to pray with you. I want you to stand with me. We're going to worship now through music. If God's put a commitment on your heart you need to make, you can come and let me know, or you can put it on your card, and I'll find out about that later. Whatever God wants you to do today, whatever it is that God wants you to be part of, do what God wants you to do. Be obedient to Him.